Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my radio program. Today is Monday, April 11th, 2022. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I'm going to have the privilege and the honor of having a chat, a conversation with a dear friend of mine. She is an Iranian-American. She is a powerful voice for freedom. She's an accomplished author, and she's involved in the political arena now. And I'm speaking of Marzia Amirzadeh, who in just a couple of minutes will be calling in, and we're going to have this conversation. She just recently finished her second book. She wrote a new book, and it's called A Love Journey with God. So we're going to be speaking about the content of that book, why she wrote it, what that book is all about, and we're going to have just a beautiful time together. So it's these kind of programs I enjoy because I want you to get to know my friend really well during this time together this morning. She has a lot to offer us as an Iranian-American. Some of my best friends here in the United States are Iranian-Americans, and they know all about freedom. They come from a country of oppression. They've been through a difficult life, but when they come here, they have genuine freedom. And many of my Iranian-American friends have been saying to me of late, they are really troubled by what they see happening in America with this new administration, with the talk of rejoining the nuclear deal, with socialism, with inflation, with rioting, with racial problems. They see what the left and the media is trying to do to this country, trying to fundamentally transform our Constitution. And many of my Iranian-American friends have privately said to me, this scares me. This reminds me of what happened in my country during the 1979 Iranian Revolution. And they see the things that are happening, and they can think back to when they were children living in Iran. So a lot of my Iranian-American friends are some of the best citizens in the world. They don't take their freedoms for granted because they understand how quickly freedoms can disappear. So this morning we're going to have a nice talk with my good friend Marzia. If you're not familiar with her, you're going to get to know her. But about 9 years ago, Marzia and her best friend Miriam Rostampour wrote a thriller, an incredible book called Captive in Iran. It was the story of when they were both on death row in Tehran for distributing Bibles, and they were going to be put to death, but a miracle of God took place. Many human rights activists stood up and spoke out, and within a few months, it was actually 9 months, they were released from Evin prison, and that was way back in 2009. So the book Captive in Iran has been a Christian bestseller for many years. If you haven't read it, you really have to read it because it tells you the story of two brave Christian girls living in Iran and what life was like for them. They were courageous, they weren't afraid, and they were busy handing out Bibles in one of the most dangerous countries in all of the world. And that was the subject matter of Captive in Iran. But right now, I want to introduce to you a dear friend. She's going to be the guest this morning on my radio program. Good morning, Marzia, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you so much for having me.
I was just sharing with my listeners the subject matter of your first book that you wrote with your dear friend Miriam Rostampour about Captive in Iran. But you have just recently written a new story, A Love Journey with God, which tells the story that wasn't in the first book. It's a more in-depth, personal account of you living in Iran, growing up, and what happened there. And so I want to talk with you this morning about the subject matter of this new book. And Marzia, people, I think, living in here in the United States don't really understand what life is like in Iran. We really don't understand the difficult life of suffering. But in this new book, you take us right into your childhood and growing up. And what is the difference between this book, A Love Journey with God, and the first book that you wrote? What is the biggest difference?
Randy, A Love Journey with God is a story of faith, courage, and hope. And I filled the rest of it fills the rest of my story before and after my imprisonment. And I shared, as you mentioned, I shared my memories of growing up in Iran under the harsh dictates of Sharia law, which deprives women of even the most basic rights of self-determination. And it is also about my, you know, about family struggles, my brothers who deprived me of my inheritance, and my struggles to earn a living in a culture where single women are viewed with suspicion and derision. I shared lots of my sufferings, pains, and difficulties because, you know, most of people ask me that how you could stand for your faith in the face of, stand up for your faith in the face of death, execution by hanging. And that's why I felt I need to share my whole journey with Jesus from the beginning. And I shared, as I mentioned, I shared all my sufferings and pains, and I called all those sufferings and pains sweet pains because it was because of those pains that I became more close to Jesus and I got to know him. And also I shared my personal relationship and journey with him from the beginning of my faith. I shared all my dreams and visions that he gave me and talked to me through my dreams. I shared about the culture shock of arriving in America and the struggles to establish myself in a new world. And from my experience living in a country where freedoms were taken away by a tyrannical theocracy, I try to, by writing this book, I try to warn Americans that the fundamental freedoms established by America's founders as gifts from God are endangered today by liberal socialism that threatens the principles of democracy.
Those are a lot of very important points that I want to discuss in detail with you because you bring out so many good things that we need to talk about. But what I want to do first, before we get there, I want to go back to the beginning of your book because in the midst of your pain and the way that you were treated in a society that's hostile to women, the way that your brothers treated you, you had a bright spot in all of this, and that was your very special relationship with your father. Talk to us about how special your father was in your life.
He honestly, he's the best dad to me, and I am honored to have such a faithful and supportive father from my childhood. He always stood behind me and supported me in a society that, you know, usually men look down women and they do not treat them equally. But my father always stood for me and supported me. And I'm so blessed to have such a strong father. And through the story, you see that from my childhood, everywhere, not only at home, also at the school and everywhere, he was behind me, he supported me, and he didn't allow my brothers and people in the society to treat me as a second-class citizen.
Yes. Now, as I was reading your book, you talked a little bit about the minority religions in Iran. And, of course, the government, the present government, is very hostile to Christianity. But you mentioned also the story of your grandfather, who I believe was a member of the Baha'i faith, and they are very persecuted and treated horribly in Iran. But these minority religions at one time were not treated in that way, and that was before the Iranian Revolution. Before that, Iran was a very free and secular country, wasn't it?
Yes, Iran was a great country before the revolution and there was freedom, but we can't ignore that still there were radical Muslims in the country who always persecuted Christian minorities like Baha'is. And my grandfather was living in a small village, and in that village, you know, there were prejudiced Muslims who were against any other religions, and they, you know, discriminated against him because of his faith. He was a Baha'i, and you know the rest of the story. And finally, my family, my father found his body under below a mountain that he would go usually every day. He would go there, and they never found out that who did this to him, and the police never opened the case to do a research about his death. But he was always, every day, you know, people were discriminating him and insulting him just because of his faith.
Now, one of the points you make early on in the book is that both you and your father knew about God, but you didn't have a personal relationship with God through Christ. You didn't know the Christian God, as you mentioned in your book. And in your book, talks about the incredible dreams that you had on your journey of faith of learning who Jesus was. Take us through a little bit about this journey of faith, this love journey with God, and how you came to know Christ.
Randy, from my childhood, I always loved God, and you can see in my story that I was searching the truth. I asked lots of questions as a child from my father about this word, about God behind this word, and I was very curious to find the truth. And but at that time, as you mentioned, I didn't know anything about Jesus, but you know, since my childhood, I had lots of questions about the truth about God, and the Islamic rules unfortunately stop people from knowing the truth. I remember I was a very curious student at school, and at my classes, I would ask lots of questions about God, which made most of my theology teachers angry, and they would tell me that you should just obey the Islamic rules if you wanted to get to know God. And I had lots of questions like, you know, why I have to speak to God in Arabic, which is not my language, and my mother language is Farsi. And that was a question that if I talk to God in Farsi, my own language, then God would not understand me. Why should I cover myself? Because only women have to cover themselves with a long black veil while they are talking to God, praying namaz, which is five times a day, we had to just pray namaz, bending in front of God, repeating nonsense Arabic words. And that was a question to me, that why I have to do that. And he, to me, I always compared God with my father, and I was thinking, if my earthly father loved me that much and I can have such a great relationship with him, so my heavenly father should be closer to me and should love me more than even my father. And that's why I couldn't understand and I couldn't accept the definition of God in Islam, because they describe him as a cruel king who is very far from us, and he always punish us for the slightest sins. And that's very funny that in Islam, the punishment for women is also harsher than the punishment for men. And they would describe the most horrible tortures, that if we do not obey the Islamic rules, God would torture us, you know, after death. And I couldn't accept such a definition. I couldn't accept this horrible description about God. And that's why I always challenge everything. And but finally, you know, I decided to obey the Islamic rules, because I thought I have to do that. Maybe by obeying the Islamic rules, then I can get to know God. And unfortunately, it didn't help. It was just practicing nonsense, rules.
I wanted to bring up a point that you're talking about, the harshness of the Islamic rules, Sharia law for women. One of my Iranian friends I was meeting with on Skype, she told the story of, in school, the teacher would talk about wearing the hijab correctly, the covering for women, the veil. And if women did not wear the hijab correctly, that in the judgment, Allah would dangle women over the fires of hell by their hair. And this was the way that women were taught, and they had such a fear. So you had this fear being taught to you, but as you mentioned, you said the God that I want to know has to be a God of love, because he has to be like my earthly father. And so you were looking for a God of love, but all of the people you would ask questions to, they never had a concept of a God of unconditional love, did they?
No, unfortunately, yeah, they would create fear in people and brainwashing children from a very young age in order to make them to obey the Islamic rules. But as I mentioned, mm-hmm. because of my experience with my father, I never accepted those kind of definitions about God. And the first time, you know, God spoke to me through one of my dreams when I was 17 years old. God spoke to me through one of my dreams, through a white horse. And in that dream, I was praying to the sky. Suddenly, the sky opened and a white horse came down and asked me to sit on his back. And the horse took me to a city where Muslim people were practicing Islamic rules. And suddenly, God opened my eyes and I could see their true faces. And they turned to savage features, and as soon as I saw their faces, they tried to attach me and take me off from that horse to kill me. And the horse saved me, and while he was running to save me from those people, I felt an amazing love through that horse that pouring into me with a power and purity I had never experienced. And it was the first time in my life that I experienced the love of God through that dream. And when I woke up, I couldn't describe that dream to anyone, describe that love, because that love was so powerful and amazing. And I was so blessed that God allowed me to experience his love in that dream. And after that dream, I became sure that God is the God of love. It's not the one that they describe to us.
This is a very powerful experience, Marzia, because we look in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and who do we see riding on a white horse but Jesus. And I think it's remarkable that God used this dream to help you to understand something that the Bible teaches, that Jesus, the pure Son of God, is riding on this white horse.
Exactly. And if you read the book, you see that the dream that I had about the white horse didn't end there. And every couple of years, the same white horse would come to my dreams and give me another message. And that's very interesting that this is one way that God used to communicate with me through the white horse.
Now, one of the things we need to point out in your testimony is that here you are, you're experiencing this love of God that is not taught in Islam. And when you come to know Christ, let's say as a Muslim, as someone that lives in Iran, it's a very dangerous thing for a so-called Muslim to convert to Christianity in Islam. So as you're experiencing these dreams and learning to think about the God of love, how does it make you feel? You're still living in Iran. How do you react to the fact that it's very dangerous for one to change their religion living in Iran?
Mandy, when you experience the love of God, you have no fear what will happen to you, because that love that I experienced was so powerful, and I was in love with him because I experienced his love first, and he allowed me to experience his love. That's why I was so thirsty, and as soon as I experienced that relationship and that love, I wanted to share this with everyone. And I believe it's the same for all Christians. When we experience the love of God, nothing can stop us from talking to other people. And I was like that, and I knew that how much was dangerous to talk to other people about my faith. But I was in love, and I wanted to share this with everybody. And as I mentioned, God started talking to me through my dreams, and he would tell me about whatever would happen in future through my dreams. And a few years before I go to prison, he told me in one of my dreams that you will pass through prison experience. And at that time, I didn't know what was the reason behind that. But as soon as I heard this from God in my dream, I started praying, and my big concern was to not deny my faith in Jesus. And I told him that if you wanted to allow this happen to me, I want you to give me the strength not to deny you in the face of, you know, torture, imprisonment, whatever happened to me in future. And that was the big concern, because I told him I cannot forgive myself if I deny you. I'm not like Peter. He denied Jesus. He was the closest one to Jesus, but finally he denied him. But he could forgive himself. And I told God, if this happened to me, I am not able to forgive myself. That's why please give me the power to stand up for my faith. And I'm so happy that God gave both of us, Mariam and I, that strength to be able to stand up for our faith in prison.
One of the key words that you used since you've explained this to me is the word love. And oftentimes I hear people talking about Christianity as a religion, but you discovered through your dreams that Christianity is not a religion, that it is a love relationship with God through Christ.
Exactly. Because, you know, Randy, some Christians think that just reading Bible every day, going to a church, is just that's enough for being a Christian. But I believe without having a relationship with Jesus, that's just a religion, practicing religion. And it was just through my relationship with Jesus that I got to know him. And when people ask me how you could stand up for your faith in the face of execution, that's why I decided to share my whole story for people to see my strong relationship with him. And I'm not a religious person at all. I I definitely read my Bible. I go to church, but what I'm saying that living the Word of God and having the personal relationship with Jesus is very important.
Yes, and the thing I think I want our listeners to understand is when you and Miriam were in prison, which you explain in the book Captive in Iran, all you had to do, deny your faith, and you would probably be set free. But because you have this strong relationship, a real relationship with Christ, that was out of the question. You would never have done that.
Yes, they, in all our interrogators, they threatened us, and they mentioned if we would just write one sentence renouncing our faith in Jesus, that they would set us free. But we told them no. I told my interrogator that I'm not going to renounce my faith in Christ. I told them go ahead and hang me, but I will never renounce him. And even, you know, that was a question for our cellmates. Some of our friends in prison, they told us that you're crazy because you can easily deny your faith and just be free. You don't have to stay here, and you can just deny him and go outside the prison and keep continuing having your faith. But I tried to explain to them, even though it was difficult for them to understand because they needed to experience the love of God, that I told them that I am in love with Jesus, and you don't understand how much it means to me to stand up for my faith. And it wasn't just standing up for my faith. I felt responsible in a country that people, the freedom is taken away from freedom and from people, and all their rights are suppressed. I felt I need to stand up for my rights and for my values while I was in prison and in the face of execution by hanging.
As you're explaining this, Marzia, I'm thinking about the qualities that you bring to America, being an Iranian-American here. And because of what you experienced in Iran, the suffering, you see what Islam does to people living in Iran. Here you are, an American citizen. And I want to talk a little bit about your newest adventure in politics. You are running for District 67 in Georgia as state representative. And one of the first questions that come to my mind, Marzia, what are the qualifications you bring to run for this office? What would you say your best qualities are?
Randy, the primary reason for running that I decided to run is that God has led me to stand up and serve my country. Also, many people know the story about my time in prison and my death sentence just for being a Christian, but many people do not know how much I struggled in a nation which I had few opportunities, especially as a woman. As an independent woman, it was very difficult for me to find employment in Iran, rent a place to live, and I often went to bed hungry. I experienced a lot of things, you know, living under an authoritarian regime for years. And I, that's why, you know, I felt responsible to stand up for freedom here. And I believe God has brought me to this land for a purpose. And now he has told me to stand up during this stormy time. And I will obey him to preserve the founding principles of our country and helping the young generation not being misled by the enemies of our country and being able to find their identity in God. Also, I will honor Jesus Christ in all I do, and I will never be ashamed of declaring his name in my future path. The most valuable thing in this world, I believe, is the love and presence of God in my life, and then loving and serving people. And I wanted to listen to people in my district. I want to hear about their problems, their suggestions for how to make Georgia a better state in which to live. I would like to help people, and especially the young generation, so they are able to solve their own problems to build their own future and not allow the government to manipulate them and steal their dreams and visions by making them dependent on the government. I love people, and exactly. I care about their struggles, their issues. And if you read my books and my stories, you see that I served people when I was a teenager. I served elders and needy people. I served prisoners and criminals in prisons in order to help them to be able to change themselves and be a better person. Also, I think exactly. I have shown that I have the courage to fight for my belief and rights. And when I became a U.S. citizen, I swore an oath before God faithfully to support and defend America from its enemies, both foreign and domestic. And the best way I can fulfill my oath as an American citizen to protect this nation from its enemy is to defend it against today's effort to force us to abandon our founding principles and to warn Americans that freedom and faith need to be defended by sharing the story of my persecution.
Excellent, excellent. You really have the qualifications to be state representative. Back in 2009, when you were in Evin prison, the Iranians had a presidential election. Of course, there is no such thing there, and the election was stolen. We know that, and there was riots and protests in the street because the Iranian people felt this election was corrupt. Marzia, you wrote something very personal about the election here back in 2020. Tell us your feelings when you see the country that you love are giving in to the same corruption that they did in Iran.
Yeah, that was very disappointing. Actually, when I, moved to America, it was the greatest day that I was so blessed to live in the greatest country in the world. And I was thinking that I have all my rights here and my freedom. And unfortunately, what happened in the last election, it was very disappointing. And it was a kind of alarm to me, and it reminded me the system of election in Iran, because as you mentioned, Iranian people, not only in 2009, but they do not have the right to choose a candidate that they want. And if they challenge the fraudulent election results, they will end up to jail. And as in 2009, I was in prison, and when people came to the streets and protest against the fraud in the election. Many got arrested. Many people were killed under tortures in prisons. And it was a horrible situation. And I witnessed many injustices and during that election. And in America, what happened, it was disappointing. And I believe we need to have election integrity here is very important. Our system, whether in the financial world or in elections, must avoid the appearance of wrongdoing. Otherwise, people will not have faith in the system. And I read a poll that one-third of Americans believe the election was stolen, and that is a high number to me. I come from a country where elections were stolen and people had no faith in the system. That's a terrible situation. So we have to ensure that people have faith in the system while making voting accessible to voters. If people lose their faith in the system, that's the beginning of a big danger for our country.
It's very well said, and I think as an Iranian-American, you bring so many good qualities to be the state representative in Georgia. Very quickly, Marzia, tell us where we can get a hold of your latest book so we can read this love journey you had with God.
I recommend most people to read this book because I try to share the truth about how it is like living under an authoritarian system, and as I mentioned, it's a warning to Americans that we all have a responsibility to stand up for our faith and values before it's too late. People can get the book through Amazon. It's available on Amazon, and they can purchase the book through that website.
Well, Marzia, we are looking forward to a successful run in Georgia, and we are looking forward to you becoming that state rep in District 67. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being so bold and courageous in writing this new book and sharing your life's journey with God. And I thank you so much this morning for being my guest on The Cross in the Desert.
Thank you so much. And I would like to mention that one of the sentences from President Ronald Reagan, who said, "I believe with all my heart that standing up for America means standing up for the God who has so blessed our land. We need God's help to guide our nation through stormy seas." And I believe the same. Thank you so much, Randy.
Amen. Amen. It was well said, and we'll be praying for you to be very successful, and I pray this book will win many, many hungry souls to Jesus. Thank you so much for your testimony this morning on The Cross in the Desert, Marzia. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. She is just one of my dearest friends, and I think you can see why. You listen to her testimony, and you can understand what she brings to America. She is a fighter for freedom and integrity. She brings faith and values to our country, and she's willing, I think, to die for this country because she loves this country that much because of what she experienced living in Iran. You can get a copy on Kindle, paperback, and hardcover of Marzia's book, My Love Journey with God, on Amazon.com, and believe me, it is well worth taking the time to read this very powerful book, A Love Journey with God. Right now, I want to pause just for a minute with a new song by Chris Tomlin called Always.
To the blind, I believe that the dead came to life. I believe there were wonders and signs, and you're still the same. I believe every word that you said. I believe there were scars in your hands, that your goodness is good without. Your mercy is mighty, age after.
brand new powerful worship music from Chris Tomlin talking about the God that's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Well, it's just been an exciting educational morning on the cross in the desert. Just a wonderful up-close and personal interview with my good Iranian-American friend Marzia Amirzadeh. And as I was listening to her share from her newest book, A Love Journey with God, I am so impressed of just the kind of person she has become, the kind of person that she is, that she wants to stand up for our country unashamed, proclaiming her faith. And this is such a powerful testimony to me, because we take our freedoms for granted, and yet Marzia knows firsthand how easily those freedoms are destroyed living in Iran, where she really had no freedom. And so she comes here, and she's willing to fight so vigorously and stand up for our freedoms. It's such an inspiration and testimony to all of us who are Americans, who unfortunately every day we somehow forget and we take our freedoms for granted. And for someone that's lived under a dictatorship government, she knows exactly what freedom is all about. And so I think she will be a tremendous representative in Georgia, and I'm praying that she is victorious. But again, I just want to urge you to read both books, Captive in Iran and A Love Journey with God. That book changed my life, and the newest book is dear to my heart too. They are life-transforming books, and I don't just say that glibly. They are life-transforming, so you need to read them, and you can find them both on Amazon.com. It's been a great morning here, and I'm going to play this interview again and again. We need to hear what Marzia has to say, and I just want you to have a fantastic week as we head towards the Easter Resurrection Day celebration. Please be safe. Please don't take your freedoms for granted. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert. Everyone have a good, powerful, and safe week.